Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Right, well, I'm recording everything now.
Okay.
I'm ready to go.
We're ready to go, and it's Monday. Why are we recording on a Monday? Remind me. Oh yeah, that was my fault, wasn't it?
You're in charge of the show notes and the admin, sir. Yeah. I just pop up and talk inanely for an hour. You're in charge of everything else.
Yeah. We've got a packed show today. I don't know if we're going to get everything in. Hello, everyone.
Sorry. I'm going to stop you there, Ted. You asked a question and then didn't answer it. Why are we recording on a Monday?
It is my fault because I thought that Monday would be quite a good day because I can't remember now.
Okay, well, Monday it is. Happy Monday, everyone, and here we are.
We're back again. Whatever Works is the podcast, and you are listening to me and Aidan. And, yes, how are you doing, Aidan? Anything to report?
I've joined you in the 60s Club, sir. Since the last show, I had my birthday, May the 1st. Thank you so much. Yes, May the 1st, everybody puts bells on their feet and dance around maypoles and says, oh, what a gay day, and that's my birthday. but I get a public holiday for it, so, you know, there are good parts. I've hit the 60s Club, but I think a bit like you, Ted, it's a number. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. I don't feel any different than I did when I was 59, and I probably will when I'm 61. It's just, hello. Oh.
Bugger.
Is that Hang somebody wishing me a late happy birthday? Thank you very much.
It's the surgery. Hang on. Hello, Ted here.
5 minutes later.
Okay, who was that then?
Oh, it's the surgery. They're mucking about with appointments for my diabetes stuff, which I probably haven't got, it seems. Anyway, where were we?
Yeah, well, the universe was just interrupting my great announcement. I had my birthday, that was all. And the weather's changed and it's finally hot. And I'm sure you can't stand it, but I'm delighted because I can play in the garden.
Yeah, the weekend was hot, but it's actually cooled down a bit today, so I'm a little bit happier. But yeah, Saturday was baking. I went out for a walk doing my steps for my diabetes,
Good
which
man.
I don't have.
Well done.
And, I went out and I was just completely sweltered. I should have not gone walking in daytime hours. Anyway, let's just get the furniture done.
I was sweltered. I'm sorry. What a lovely adjective you've invented. I was sweltered. Anyway, do carry on.
Whateverworks.works. That is where our website is, if anyone ever goes there. And our MeWe group is where it all happens, or we hope it does. And thank you, everyone, for chipping in since the last show. We appeal for more content, and you've given us that, so that's really good. Well done. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan and what all the stuff he does and potentially can do. And TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me and all the stuff I do. Right, yeah, so thank you so much, everyone, for responding to that. If it goes on like this, we'll be back to fortnightly, won't we? Oh, I've got a dental tale to tell.
I briefly
mentioned this on Tech Addicts yesterday, but so I won't dwell on it. But I went to the dentist to put all pumped up with Valium to get in the chair because is my curse, and they said there's a cock-up with the appointment, and they had to reschedule it. So I'm sitting there with, you know, zoned out and zonked out and, I'm dressed up for all dressed up for the party and the party was cancelled.
Oh, no, but I need to say, let the dear listeners know if they don't already. Ted Salmon is, how should we put it? Extremely terrified of going to the dentist.
Scared shitless.
So, I mean, it's a shame. I'm sure you got yourself psyched up, you girded your loins, you took a deep breath, you counted to 10, and then you were told to go home again. So, yeah, I do feel for that, Ted. I'm sorry.
Anyway, that's fine, because it did give me something. It showed me, after all these years, about how much Valium I needed to take. And I actually think I need a little bit more than they've given me, and they're playing ball with that for next time, so it's okay. Not all is not lost. let's go into more medical stuff for us too, shall we? Last time we spoke about varifocals and goggles for you.co.uk.
We did indeed. We both decided we'd try out the cheapest chips glasses from the web instead of paying £300-£500 for an optician. Why do that when you can spend 30 or 40 quid and get them online? Or even less, in fact, in your case, I think. And we did. And our varifocals arrived from Goggles for You. But I'm pleased and yet sorry to say that you were more impressed than I was. Mine, I don't know, maybe it's because I recently experienced the high-end expensive ones from the optician, which, as listeners will remember, I sent back because I just couldn't get on with them. My brain just couldn't cope with varifocals, and I'm now wearing bifocals. And my story was that I decided, having worn bifocals for a good month now, I would try varifocals again and see if I got on. Well, the trouble was, I just didn't like them. In my case, they just weren't good glasses. The prescription was wonky. There was no reading prescription at all anywhere on the lens. And even the distance prescription just had the impression to me of looking through a pair of binoculars. And I was A-B-ing them against the professional, in inverted commas, bifocals that I have now. And I just didn't like them at all. So I did the classic Aidan trick, which I don't think I've told you yet, Ted. I started a dialogue. They should get a gold star for this because they refunded me. I got in touch with Goggles for You and I said, I'm afraid I'm not happy with these. I bought many pairs from you in the past and I'll hopefully buy them from you again. Blah, blah, blah. You know, hot air. I just don't like these. They wrote back and said, we're terribly sorry. Please choose a new pair and we'll make you a new pair immediately. I wrote back and said, that's all very well. I'd rather have the money back. They wrote back and said, you can have the money back. We'll refund your bank account. I wrote back and said, what should I do with the old glasses? And they said, you can keep them.
You always seem to get that, don't you? I wonder what it is.
Oh, it's the Amazon effect. I think from their point of view, what can they do with them? I mean, they did actually say very nicely in their email. They said, we suggest you donate them to a local charity shop. But there we are. So I got the money back and I'm not wearing them. But yours worked out better, though, didn't they?
Kind of. But they're very much like the expensive pair I got in 2019, to be honest. The only reason I'm keeping them is because they were 38 quid or whatever it was. And they'll do very nicely as a distance pair, because the distance bit is absolutely fine. I can use them for looking across the room or driving or whatever else. But the area where I can focus on anything close up, including my computer distance or even reading distance, is just tiny weeny weeny right at the very, very bottom. So there seems to be just and this was the same as the ones from the optician. You've got to look through the like, it feels like about the 5% right at the bottom of the glass to be able to see. So I'm just looking completely downwards in order to focus there. And yes, if I paid 300 quid or 500 quid for them again, I would definitely have complained and gone back. But I can't be asked because they were cheap and they'll do me. I actually use them for driving. They're sat in the boot of my scooter. And when I drive Dad's car, I use them for doing that. So it's okay. It's fine. I'm not sending them back.
To be fair, I mean, if you know, full disclosure for Goggles for You, I have, well, over the past couple, two, three, 4 years, I've bought a number of their very cheapest chips, just basic reading glasses, which I think I've talked about on the show, having around in every room. And they were fabulous. I had never had any trouble with those. And indeed, the cheap and cheerful bifocals that I bought from them a few months back before getting the proper ones from the Boots were also fine. So I think they're just not very good at varifocals. Maybe varifocals are the king of glasses and have to be done properly by people who know what they're doing. Maybe. And they don't.
Well, except that my optician couldn't do it properly either, as far as I'm concerned, because they were crap last time as well. There was some talk about the skin on my eyes being coming down too far over my eyes or something.
Right.
And someone suggested that if I had a tuck, if I had an eyelid tuck, I might find it better. Anyway.
I know why you don't like the hot weather. You're actually a bloodhound, aren't you, Ted? That's it. We've got that sorted.
Richard Anthony has also used Goggles for You. Thanks for writing in, Richard. I've used Goggles for You and they have been great. I'm on my second pair now for use on the computer and nothing to complain about. One thing I would like to mention is the method for measuring your eyes, which we spoke about
before. Yes, we
did. I found holding a ruler up in the mirror seemed like a quite inaccurate way of doing this. So I took the measurement I got from the mirror, punched a hole in a piece of paper with a drawing pin, and then a second hole the distance away as measured using the mirror method, keeping up at the back.
Yes.
And then I tried to look through both holes at the same time. Obviously, this failed, so then I punched another hole a bit closer in and repeated it until I reached a point where I could see through both holes with both eyes open at the same time. This created one single hole view, which I could then see with both eyes, and then he got his measurement. So, yeah, another way of doing it. Thank you, Richard. I did find that mine was okay, and as I think we said on the last show, I think the human body is capable of... being a bit flexible, even if it's like half a millimetre out or something.
I think so, and I think this is what I was told by my optician when I couldn't get on with the varifocals, that the brain will accommodate and will get used to it. You know, yeah. People who wear contact lenses can wear a short distance in one eye and a long distance in the other eye, and somehow the brain is able to work out which eye to use for which task. So,
oh, wow.
Freaky scary.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Freaky scary. Anyway, there you go. Goggles for you, which we have. Yeah, I recommend them. I think if I was going to get a single distance pair of glasses from them, I'd have no hesitation at all.
Indeed, my experience. So I think in the end we recommend them, but maybe definitely. Take care with varifocals.
Yes,
listen,
indeed.
I've been investigating air conditioners, as you know, for some time, and. Knowing that the hot, possibly potentially extremely hot summer may be on its way, so I'm getting ready to buy an air conditioner if necessary to take care of my mother. I've been watching videos on YouTube, and they've been talking about Black Plus Decker. And I thought, what's Black Plus Decker? And what it means is Black & Decker, the company right. We've always known as Black & Decker. A friend of mine reminded me of the advertisement that used to go Black & Decker, Black & Decker, Black & Decker, Black & Decker, which you might remember from the 80s. And yet... two or three or four videos have referred to Black Plus Decker. And when you look at it, they do write it with a sign. I mean, the logo is Black Plus sign Decker. Have I been saying it wrong all these years? What would you have instinctively said, Ted, for the name of that company?
It's always been Black & Decker. I thought they used an ampersand, though, but it's a plus sign, is it?
It's a plus sign.
Okay.
Oh, well there we are. Short item, that one.
Educated.
Moving on.
Yes, indeed. Okay, feedback from the last show then, and we start with a familiar item.
Oh, yes, let me just take a swig of tea from my Ember coffee mug.
Okay, then.
My brand new Ember. Listeners will no doubt remember my long and tedious story of the Ember coffee mug that died a slow and lingering death over several episodes of Whatever Works. And I eventually bought what I kept calling a VIS2 mug. And you've quite correctly corrected me. It's actually VSITOO. VIS2. I mean...
I reckon it's pronounced city.
However it's pronounced...
I reckon the V is silent, personally.
So you think it's situ?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Situ mug was a bit of a Shitu mug in the end. Because, see what I did there? Thank you for the silent V, Ted. No, the thing is, it was rubbish. As listeners will remember, I actually bought the Situ mug and said I'm going to give this one a go. The paper manual that it came with said charge the battery for at least half an hour until the green charging light remains solid, usual standard fare. That took 9 or 10 hours overnight, but eventually I had a solid green light, and the following morning, on its first use, it did indeed keep 2 cups of tea very warm, and I thought, oh lovely, I've got a new mug. And then on the third cup of tea it lost its battery and went cold. So it went straight back. I didn't bother, no nifs or buts. I just threw in the towel and I bought an Ember mug. But the good thing about the Ember mug is that Amazon didn't have the... You know, it comes in a couple of sizes. There's a 12-ounce and a 14-ounce in old-fashioned money.
Right.
And yeah. I want the 14-ounce, which Amazon didn't have. So I looked around and I found it for the same price, which is now 149 quid, with free delivery from Harrods, darling.
Ew, rather.
And I thought, well, if it's the same price, I'll get it from Harrods. And it arrived. I was rather hoping I'd get a little green Harrods van and a gentleman with a pink cap would come and knock on the door. But unfortunately, no, it was just DHL or somebody just brought it along. But it's fine. And I'm happy to... How very, very common. And I'm pleased to report it works fine. I've got a new Ember mug. No more of these stupid problems. It's keeping cups of tea hot, nice and hot. It also means...
But to be fair, if I may interrupt...
Yes, sir.
It didn't go wrong last time for about 6 years.
No, that is true, actually. I mean, let's be fair to Ember. It was indeed a mug that I really did use to death, quite literally. Also, of course, the advantage of getting another Ember is I've now got two charging sources. Because I've still got the old saucer, so I got one on my desk in my studio and the other one in the kitchen where it lives overnight. So it even gets more charging now than before. I'm really happy. A negative point I would point out with Situ mugs, in case anyone was still interested to look at them, it appeared to me, let's assume that, you know, maybe I had a Duff one or whatever, you still had to turn the switch on and off under the bottom of the mug, in both instances, Ember and Vista 2, there's a switch, there's a button at the bottom that you press to turn it on and off. And I have the feeling that with the Vista 2 mug, you have to do it every single time. And when you finish your tea, you have to turn it off. I can't be sure. I didn't own it long enough to experiment properly. But whereas the Ember, I just turn it on. It's on and it stays on and you just forget it's got a switch and you use it.
Hurrah.
And I didn't have to use the app. I mean, I was terrified I was going to have to download the app and Bluetooth my mug to my phone and blah. But no, I just ignored all of that and switched it on out of the box and it works fine. So I'm very happy.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I'm very pleased that you had an outcome. I think 6 years is perfectly reasonable for a mug to last that has got electronics.
I think it is, actually, yeah. As I say, no room 101 for Ember, indeed.
No. So well done for them. Right, OK, you finished with that?
I'm going to finish my tea now. You carry on with something else.
Danny Hoy is on Fidget Toys. We briefly mentioned Fidget Toys last time, and I was right, it was Danny Hoy. I was surprised to hear, he says, a brief mention of me and my Fidget Toys on the last show. I don't use them as much as I used to, however. Usage was curtailed during the various COVID lockdowns, partly due to concerns about contaminated surfaces and work limited. Mm-hmm. I still have an Infinity Cube, which we did talk about also on the show, on my desk. I like to play with, however. It's a multi-hinged set of blocks that are linked together and can fold inwards and outwards. I do still keep a Fidget Cube in my work uniform pocket for those tedious moments when nothing is going on, says Danny. So, yes, it was Danny, and he is kind of still using them. And we go through phases of stuff, don't we, on this show? We were doing fidget toys for like about 3 or 4 months.
Yes, that's right.
They never got mentioned again. We kind of done that and moved on. And the same is true of Ember mugs.
Since you're talking about fidget toys, I'm going to admit something which I had no intention of mentioning. While you were doing the last boring, while you were speaking a little while ago, I spotted a dead woodlice on the floor and I used a piece of sticky tape to pick it up and I sort of wrapped it up in the sellotape ready to throw it away later, since when I've been fiddling with it in between my fingers. So I can now recommend the Aidan Bell patented woodlice and sellotape fiddle toy.
How cruel.
Something
How cruel
for Danny
you
to put
are.
On his list. It was already dead when I picked it up.
Oh, I see.
Talking of small creatures, I've got a new mouse.
Oh, nice. Is it squeaking?
No, it's a computer mouse. I have got an Evoluent, there's another name, Evoluent. Evoluent, it sounds like something you cook in the kitchen. An Evoluent right-handed wireless vertical mouse 4. You may remember from, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago now, or maybe, one year, I think, I was concerned about rotator cuff in my arm and had a bit of pain. And so I bought a new chair for my office and I adjusted the height and angles and I watched YouTube videos about how to sit properly at a computer. And all of this helped very much and included the purchase of a Deluxe Seeker wireless ergonomic vertical mouse, which I spoke about on the show. And I even gave a gold star to in November 2023. And that mouse was great. And the USP is that it works at an angle of 57 degrees. Whereas you normally have your hand flat on top of the desk with your mouse, that is apparently not a good angle, because if somebody just said to you, put your hand on the table in front of you, you would probably offer your hand to the table in what they call the handshake position, so that your hand is 90 degrees to the table. And the mouse that I bought was 57 degrees, which meant that my hand wasn't flat on the table, which I did find over a period of weeks and months of using it helped my rotator cuffs. And I was very happy with that until I discovered, lo and behold, there is a 90-degree mouse available. And I thought, right, this could be even better and help me even more. So I jumped onto our favourite website and I purchased the Evolent right-handed wireless vertical mouse 4. It cost 113 quid. It's not cheap, but it's given me an extra 33 degrees tilt into the handshake position. And it really does. I do seriously believe now, having used the other one for a good year and this one for some weeks now, it really does help. To be fair, full disclosure, I don't think it's actually a full 90 degrees. I think it's more like 80 or even 75 degrees, but it's an improvement. I would also say it's not the best mouse. The sad part is, as a mouse, it's a bit of a downturn from previous mice I've had. It's fairly basic. I wouldn't describe it as a great computer mouse. I wouldn't recommend it as a great computer mouse, but it does the job. That said, I'm using the Model 4, and there is a newer Model D, which costs another 25 quid and took longer to arrive. And to my eyes, is not quite as attractive as the older 4. Not that I describe it as terribly attractive in any case. So I just decided I wasn't going to wait more time and spend more money for an uglier mouse. So it is possible that the D model is a little bit less. This one's a bit plastic fantastic, as I say. It's not a great mouse, but it's fantastic from a point of view of health and taking care of me medically, which for these days trumps everything else. So, yeah, it's a handshake 90 degree mouse, and so far so good.
Splendid, well done. In the process, can I make a special request and
ask you
to send me the Deluxe Seeker one, because I think that looks really cool. I think it looks much more preferable in terms of design and everything to the other one. I have tried a ergonomic mouse before and I don't particularly get on with it, but that one looks like it might be a bit different. If it's kicking about sometime, perhaps you could send it up.
I'm terribly sorry, but it's in Cyprus. I sent it to my sister, who was also very keen to try one.
Okay.
And so I've sent it to her. Apologies
for that.
That's
the end of that,
then. I will say, at the beginning, I did hate it. I hated it for about a week, and I was thinking of sending it back. But a bit like the glasses we've talked about, you just have to work through it. And once I got used to it, I would now, when I have to use a normal mouse, my arm thinks, oh, that's a funny angle.
So, I'll tell you the one feature that I would really miss now about going to any other mouse than a Logitech is the inertia wheel. You don't see the inertia wheel in many models except Logitech's. There are a few, but so when you're scrolling through a page, you just flick the wheel.
That's right.
And it scrolls down as quickly as the wheel is spinning.
Yeah, I miss that. I miss that a little bit, but again, I quickly got used to it.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm glad you found a solution anyway. Well done. Right, we're back to Danny Hoy now, and he's been wearing a pair of Berghaus. Is that how you say that?
What's it called? Berghaus. Yeah, it's German.
Berghaus. Waterproof, breathable over trousers. I bought these in 2016, so they're kind of a still using, really, and have worn them for work and leisure when outside walking and around in inclement weather. They keep my legs dry, and the design has zippers that run the full length of both legs, making them easier to wear and remove. So these are over trousers, don't forget. Especially important when they are soaking wet. On the inevitable days torrential rainfalls here in the part of Scotland where I live, these trousers help prevent my jeans or work suit trousers getting soggy. They proved their worth many times over, especially when taking the dog for a walk in less than ideal conditions. It's a big thumbs up from me, and depending on size and colour and whatever else, they are priced somewhere between 38 and 47 quid. So yeah, they look very nice. Well done, Danny. Good shout.
Yes, I have a pair of these somewhere in the bottom of a cupboard. Unfortunately, it's one of the classic things we're always saying on the show. Great item if you need it. I mean, obviously, Danny has good use of it and makes good use of it. Unfortunately, mine just live in the bottom of the cupboard where they've been for literally decades by now, I think, because I never go out in the rain.
Do you know, this would be perfect for me on my scooter in the winter when it's raining. But, do you know, I couldn't be bothered. You know, it's enough faff as it is to get ready for getting on the scooter without having to put trousers on as well.
It's only water.
Yes, we have waterproof skin.
Dunk V, which I presume Dunk is short for Duncan. A very sweet message from Dunk saying, I just wanted to thank you, Ted and Aidan. I lost my wife last year, and listening to you two chaps has cheered me up on my dark days. You're both so jolly, positive and fun. I really have looked forward to each show. That's very sweet, Dunk. We're not really jolly and fun. We just keep bickering with each other.
It's very sad for you, but yeah. I'm glad that we've been able to cheer you up a bit.
Indeed. Thank you, Dunk. That's very sweet of you, and indeed our condolences. I wanted to share my purchase, he says, of the battery-powered electric weed whacker. I think that's the name he's given it. I don't think he's actually called that. Excuse me. I have used it to tend my wife's grave, he said, as it gets overgrown. The strimmer was a steal at £55, though it seems now to be unavailable. It comes with three kinds of blades, and instead of string, it has a plastic blade, which works better than string, I think. It's an edger tool, a grass mower, for shrubs around trees and trimming thicker bush branches. So I'm glad to say it works. Whatever works.
Whatever works.
Thank you, Doug. That's
actually
great.
he didn't call it a weed whacker. I picked that term up from looking at the brand. And if you look down through the about this item bit,
yes,
it makes reference to the electric weed whacker. And so I kind of thought it probably is called that. I don't know. Anyway, looks like great fun, so well done. Thank you, Dunk V. Perhaps he's German. It sounds a bit German.
Jawohl.
I wonder who bought it.
Two shout-outs this time for I Wonder Who Bought It.
Mm-hmm.
For two big buyers, in fact.
Oh, that's good.
Someone bought a Pixel Watch 2. Which actually were on sale, but they sold out really, really quickly, like in a matter of minutes. we posted that in the group, and then I went to look at it about half an hour later, and that was it. They were all gone. Anyway, so someone bought that, and also someone bought a Beko washing machine.
So,
two big items. I got £1.50 for the Pixel Watch 2, and I got £2.50 for the washing machine. So that netted me £4. As they say in Asda, every little helps, so it doesn't sound like much, but if everyone does that, it really, really helps people using my affiliate link. So thank you, everyone, for doing that. And whoever it was that bought these two items, I do appreciate it. If you want to help out in that way, you can do that. Just head for tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK. Just go in and buy as usual. I don't know who's bought what, but I do know what's been bought. And they give me some pennies, as I've just described, to do that with. That Beko washing machine looks quite nifty. Beko used to be a brand that everyone kind of thought was second rate and a bit cheap and nasty, but I think they've changed, haven't they?
It just makes me think of that character in The Muppets. Or was it Beko? That sort of... I just immediately thought of a Muppet washing machine when you said Beko. No, I don't know the company at all, but...
Back in the day, I think when Beko was, like, frowned upon as some, you know, Curry's own brand or something, and I think that that's changed now. So, anyway, there you go. Thank you to everyone who uses my affiliate link. I'll say it again, tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK.
Still using.
Right, I'll keep this one brief because people are going to switch off if they hear me say the word coffee machine. But I just need to say very quickly, it's exactly a year since I bought myself the Oracle coffee machine from Sage or Breville, depending on what part of the world you're in.
Whoa.
It was my birthday, as it is now. Last year, I treated myself to it. Show number 185, 3rd of May 2023. And despite the hefty £1,399.99 price tag...
Which was £500 off.
I shopped about, didn't I? But despite that, given that I use it every single day that I'm home, and I have done since... purchase, it's easily proven its absolute worth. I mean, if I were to work out how much money all those coffees would have cost me from Starbucks and the like, you know, that would be the shocking figure. One of my best purchases ever. I'm delighted with it, and not to mention that you got the sloppy hand-me-down second coffee machine that I sent to you when I got the new one. So we both did well out of that. I love it. Which is still also still using.
I noticed actually this morning when I went to use it that the cleaning light came on for the second time. So it's I mean I don't use it all day every day like you do, but it's interesting that it seems like I've got to do that every 6 months, because like you, you know, it's been exactly a year almost since I got it. Yeah.
Yes. There we go.
Talking of the same kind of thing, because it was also a year ago on my birthday in March when I got the Ninja soup maker thingy. A year has flown by. I can't believe I've had that a year. It's now, when I bought it, it was 150 quid. It was bought for me for my birthday.
Yes.
It's now 129 quid, or it was at the time I wrote this. It's just so good. It's fantastic. And I've used it almost every day. I've probably used it as much as you've used your coffee machine, because I just live on soup. I think soup is great. There's lots of stuff I haven't done with it in an Aidan Bell type way. You know, it's capable of doing all sorts of things,
ice cream
and sauces and jam and marmalade. And there's tons of stuff I could do with it, and I just don't. So you'll approve of that. But yeah, it's a great machine, and I thoroughly recommend it over any other. And I've tried about 3 or 4 of these soup making machines. This is just the dog's bollocks.
There's a flavour I haven't tried. Go, friend. 5-digit bike lock. That's what it's called. I bring you a cheap and cheerful bike lock for £7.58. I didn't buy it for a bike. In fact, I bought it for my mother's wheelchair. And in fact, we haven't used it, haven't needed to, but I wanted to have a lock because I think the thing with a wheelchair is, rather than actually being stolen, you know, wheelchairs might be picked up and used by accident. Oh, sorry, I thought it was part of the shop. I was just taking it to put, you know, wheel my mother around Tesco or whatever it is. And just, you know, if we have to leave it outside the toilet while I go, well, whatever the reason might be, I wanted to have a lock to carry with the wheelchair should it ever be needed, which is why I didn't need to go for a really beefy, high security theft prevention lock. I certainly would not recommend this as such. But if you just want it for somewhere where, as I say, you just want to prevent mistaken or cheeky use rather than actual theft, it's very nice. It's attractive. It comes in various colours. It's 5 digits. I've tried it out. I haven't actually used it in anger yet, but I tried it out and it seems to work fine. I've given it a combination code and it's fairly light. It sits in the bag at the back of my mum's wheelchair should we ever need it. GoFriend 5-digit bike lock, available in multiple colours, whatever your taste.
Because most of these are 4 digits, aren't they? Mm. Apparently, I just looked it up, and it says that if you've got 5 digits, the possible combinations are 100,000. So multiple times if you've got 4. So 5's actually quite a bright idea, isn't it? My question to you is, what's that thing that appears to be going round a handlebar attached to it?
Oh, I think, I didn't use it. I think that is exactly what you do. That's a sort of, it's a holder thing. You attach that to the handlebar of your bike, or wheelchair, I guess, and then you can just, it's a quick attachment. I think it's a sort of press and twist to put it on and then twist and remove to take it off again. It's just to carry it, to store it on the bike, to remove it and attach it quickly in use. I don't do that. I just have it packed in the bag at the back of the wheelchair, as I say.
Right, OK. So somebody, if they were going to nick the whole thing, they'd have to undo the screws.
Yeah, in fact, if you want to look down the Amazon thing, there is a picture at the bottom showing it on a bike held in exactly the manner I have just described.
So there is. Aren't you a smart ass? Right, OK. My cheapest chips is I'm going to get into trouble here from Judge Barton, because it's £11.99, but there's 4 of them.
You love pushing the envelope, don't you?
They're 3 quid each, I reckon.
Okay.
This is a 4-pack of anti-slip Moco Universal laptop stand thingy wedges. And the idea is, it's very simple. You stick these things under the... What I noticed was that when I was using my laptop, it was kind of too flat on the desk, and I wanted it to the keyboard to be raised up a bit. Raised up a bit. And these things are very, very simple, but they're covered in this really good rubbery stuff that makes sure that they whatever they're touching, it doesn't slip. You stick them under the back of the computer, under the laptop, and it just elevates the back up a bit. If you want it higher, you move them a bit closer. If you want it lower, you just use half of the wedge shape. And they work brilliantly well. You need to make sure that you've got the two of them lined up properly, because if not, then the front will kind of slightly rock. The reason I got this was, this gaming laptop I've got actually runs quite hot when it's under load, and I was noticing that when I picked it up, the bottom of it was really hot. So this also gets the air circulating. Anyway, these are really cheap as chips, I reckon. They work, do the job really nicely, and into the bargain, you get this keyboard that's slightly angled up towards you, which I really prefer. Having used it, I wouldn't want to go back to flat on the desk now, so there it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ted Salmon has discovered the doorstop.
Yeah, well, you could argue that you could put anything under the back of your computer to do this. You could just get a couple of cotton reels or whatever, but they're just made for the job, and they're very rubbery, and they're very lovely, rubbery.
Rubbery, oh!
We'll get into trouble for that, won't we? They work really well. You can also, incidentally, use them for any other keyboard or anything else you want that needs wedging up slightly. As you say, even a doorstop or something. Yeah. Anyway, I like them. They're nice, and I will stand by them.
Have you finished?
Yep.
I want one of those.
I want a Volvo. Actually, I have to say, I've got a Volvo. I'm lucky enough. I'm lucky enough to have a Volvo. I want another one. I've been lucky and blessed to, and one of the greatest joys of my life, and possibly even more than my coffee machine, I love my Volvo XC60, which I've driven and loved since 2010 now. Starting to get a little elderly, my car. And my previous car before that was also a Volvo, so I'm a brand loyal Volvo driver. And I tell you what I want, just from flicking through the web as we do, I want a Volvo EX30, which is an electric car, fully electric car. If I ever have that hit single, or if I win the lottery, I think it's time to go electric, and I think the EX30 would be my choice of Volvo's current four electric models. What's unusual is that it's actually the smaller. I mean, 10 years ago, I would still be on my big is beautiful, I want the full-size SUV bells and whistles. But now, perhaps it's having turned 60, maybe that has made a difference after all. I'd be very happy with the wee one. XC30 from Volvo. It's beautiful. Volvos are beautiful. They're lovely cars. I love driving them. I think it's aesthetically very attractive, and it's electric. And what's not to love? If I had £34,000 to spend.
Yeah, it does look very nice. I was more of a VW person myself, but I could also live with Volvo, no problem at all. What I was going to mention, though, was that I've been recently, because my mum and dad have not been able to drive now, I've been driving them around and using their car, and they've got a relatively new car. It's not a expensive car, but it's a relatively new car. And I can't believe all the gadgetry all over it. That the last time I had a car, there was nothing like this. And I just noticed on your webpage that you're linking to there is that they've got these things called a door opening alert, and so is theirs. So what they're showing here is that if a cyclist is coming towards you on the side that you're going to open the door, there's a light that comes on the wing mirror. And the same thing happens on my dad's car, that there's a light that comes on in the wing mirror as you go to open the door to say, hang on, there's something coming. And this Volvo does that as well. And there's all sorts of these little gadgets.
Oh, yeah, they have a blind spot thing on the motorway. If there's a car in your blind spot of your wing mirror, the light flashes to let you know. And, of course, it's got all the auto, you know, automatic braking and following the car in front at the same speed.
And there's the lane things as well.
Lane control,
I was driving along, and it only works. I've worked it out. It only works over 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
But if you drive, if you just touch the white lines in the middle of the road, it beeps at you.
Yes, it gets angry with you. Yes.
Yeah, and it tells you you're obviously to stop people falling asleep at the wheel, I suppose. And it wakes you up and gets you back in your lane. Those were just two examples, but the car is littered with this high tech stuff that I've never before seen.
The last time you drove a car, you started it with a handle at the front, yeah. didn't you, Ted? And you got your mum to walk in front with a flag.
Anyway, yeah, very nice. The EX30, I want one of those too.
Better before. Oh, it's me again. It's all about me. Oh, dear. No, it's not actually me at all. It's Simon Bates, but I'm reading it to you. And he's back to the old ways of shaving. Better before, he says. After seeing an advert for Harry's shaving cream, I thought I'd give it a try. I bought myself a posh bristle brush and a little... try saying that when you've had a few. And a little soap dish from Amazon. The shaving cream is like toothpaste, but it lathers up beautifully. I think it must have some tea tree in. Oh, I love tea tree. Must have some tea tree in it as one's face feels cool using it. It does a very nice job, and it's turned what can be into a chore into a pleasure.
Ah, very nice.
How sweet. Thank you, Simon. Yeah, I do. You know what? When I used to, now I shave electric, but when I used to shave properly with a blade, it was so tedious. I mean, yeah, I could have done with some Harry shaving cream to relieve the monotony, because you don't bother at all, Ted. You just have a beard. I mean, that's the other way to go, isn't it?
I just shave it off when it gets too long. I just completely chop it off and start again.
Oh, you complete it? That's interesting. You don't trim the beard. You just say, no, away with the beard. No. I'll start again.
I used to try and trim it, but I thought, oh, hang this. and I do the same with the hair on the top of my head as well. I just cannot be bothered with shaving. It's just, it's like your approach to cleaning your teeth, you know. It's just too much hassle.
Yes, yes. I remember when I had a bald head, it was back in Vienna about, oh God, nearly 30 years ago. Richard O'Brien, of all people, taught me how to shave the head. And I remember sitting in the bath. That was the best way to shave one's head. You just sat in the bath and shaved your head with the cream and stuff. Because you know, when you do it for the first few times, it involves not a small amount of blood. But anyway, I digress. Let's talk about something nicer.
I do it with my electric clippers thingy, which is much easier.
And there are now shavers, which one of us ought to buy and test for the show, which is these sort of special electric head shavers with three cutting points, but they're in a sort of egg shape, reverse egg shape for shaving the head.
Oh, right. Well, that's your challenge, then. I've never heard of it, so bring it on. OK, better before item two is from Gareth Williams, who is... talking about the pre-COVID world, he says that now bins are not being emptied properly, whereas they were before. Supermarkets now understocked when they weren't before. This could also be tied up with Brexit, I suppose. Let's not go there. We have to fight for a GP appointment. Well, I didn't have to just now. Well, I suppose I did. Fewer policemen on the roads, resulting in lousy driving. COVID was the opportunity taken to reduce all sorts of services, says Gareth, and never put them back. And so on, really, with lots of examples about about that the pre-COVID world. And you're quite right, Gareth. I think we all see that. As I say, I do think that part of it is tied up with the whole Brexit thing. But also, yes, the COVID... reduction in services and the rearrangement of services was taken, it would appear, as an opportunity to permanently kind of change a lot of things. Yes.
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I'm just thinking of his list. I mean, my bins are being emptied fine as they were before, and I haven't noticed since... Yes, Tesco had, you know, two apples and a lemon on the shelves for a while, but everything's back to normal as far as I can tell now. And like you, we don't actually fight for GP appointments. I think these things are all relative. I think maybe Gareth's just picked the wrong part of the world to live in.
Well, I have to tell you that in where I live locally in North Wales, they've reduced the bin emptying from 2 weeks. They went from 1 week before COVID, then it was 2 weeks, and now some of the bins are 4 weeks. So I beg to differ for this part of the world.
It depends who you are and where you are and what services you're using and how your council's reacted. I agree with Gareth in principle, but it's not all as bad as he's painting it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, it might be in Wales. We both, Gareth and I both live in Wales, so perhaps it's a Welsh thing.
Well, that'll teach you to live in Wales then, won't it? On the last show, I gave Amazon a gold star. This week I'm putting them into 101. I think of all the companies and individuals and places and people we've talked about, Amazon has ping-ponged between gold star and room 101 more than any other. But this one is my mother and Amazon insisting on giving her a Prime trial, even though she has no interest in having one. Whenever my mother, who has an Amazon account and very rarely uses it, tries to buy something from Amazon, they say, "We are giving you a free trial of Amazon Prime. You don't have to keep it. You can cancel it if you want." So we tick the tiny, tiny little box that says, "No, thank you. I'd rather go ahead without." And yet, when she gets to the final checkout, there's a thing saying, "We are giving you a free trial of Prime," and no option to say, "F*** off, I don't want it." So in the end, in this case, it was a book that my mother wanted to buy. I bought it for her on my account because it just seems that they are forcing you to take a trial of Prime, even when you don't want one.
Yeah, you've got to be careful, haven't you? You've got to watch out for the small print always that traps you.
Yes.
Bastards.
But it's, as I say, I mean, we all know that now from this, you know, please tick here if you want to receive this email. Please tick here if you don't want to receive the email. You have to fill in forms very, very cautiously these days. And as you say, make sure that you don't accidentally and inadvertently accept a Prime trial. But what my point here is that in the end, they stop with the tiny little OK opt-out box. And as we finally got to the checkout, there did not appear to be any way of saying no, thank you. So blah to Amazon this week.
I'll tell you, one exception to what you just said was gogglesforyou.co.uk, because they were bombarding me with all sorts of email. And there was a button at the bottom of the email that said unsubscribe. And I clicked on it. And sure enough, I was unsubscribed instantly. I never heard from them again. And then I wanted to get some offers from them, and I put it back on. And I got a message that came up that said, "You previously chose to opt out of our emails. Are you sure you want to be back on?" And so I said, "Yes, please." And then I let the emails come again for a couple of days. And then I did it again, and I've not heard from them. So they can do it right, and Goggles for You clearly have done it right.
I think Goggles for You are a very good company. They just don't make very good glasses.
They do for me. Matthew Jones is last in room 101 on poorly implemented tracking. Royal Mail give you a tracking number in some services. You then put the tracking number into their website and get the message, "We will update the tracking once we've attempted delivery."
Yes, I've had
great.
That.
So when I have my parcel in hand, you'll be able to tell me where it is. That's a great help. It's a shame that Royal Mail don't do this 1 hour slot like DPD do.
Yes.
Because the rest of what Royal Mail do on special delivery, certainly, is absolutely brilliant.
Agreed.
It's just that they won't do this 1 hour slot. The DPD have just got that, and they do it so brilliantly well. I've never once been let down by DPD, and it works just really well.
But I do agree with Matthew on the... Sorry to interrupt. On the Royal Mail, I totally agree. I've had that myself, and I thought, well, I don't want to know where it is when I've got it. I want to know where it is now.
Yeah, I know. He goes on, eBay marks a parcel as dispatched, yet you follow the tracking link 3 to 4 days later, and it's clear that the item is still sitting in the seller's house. They've simply printed a label. So them printing a label flags up that it's been dispatched.
Yes.
This is an item sold on a promise of a 3-day delivery, he says, which eBay then stealthily modifies by adding a week to the expected delivery date. If you approach eBay and all the sellers to tell them to poke it and they can't be bothered to dispatch the item, they say, "You can't do that, it's already dispatched." And so they've got the tracking number as proof, even though it's still sat in the house. So, yes, I do. I don't use eBay hardly ever at all. But that does seem a bit stupid and ridiculous. So worthy of room 101 for you, Matthew, definitely. And yes, he does. Matthew does acknowledge also, and he agrees that Amazon do, and we've spoken about this on the show before. Amazon do tracking really, really well, and they do have that 1 hour slot usually. I mean, sometimes it's a 2 hour slot or whatever. And I'm talking about Prime members here, not non-Prime members.
Well, maybe that's my mum out then.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe it's different for non-Prime. I don't know, but on Prime, I've got no real complaints about Amazon. They do tracking, as Matthew says, really, really well.
Yeah, I think that might actually be why I gave Amazon the gold star last time, because it's flawless, really.
Well, I'm going to give Amazon back a gold star this time. and I'm going to give Amazon a gold star because I had to send back a fairly expensive item recently, and they processed the 1/5 payment refund, because I paid it on 5 months payment.
Oh, yes.
They processed the 1/5 payment almost immediately. There was no pissing about. No one tried to claim that this expensive item was an empty box when it arrived. All of those things previously, with the old Amazon, inverted commas, have all gone wrong, and they've screwed it up and cocked it up. And so, as well as the tracking we just spoke about from Matthew, they've also just got, I think they've just got their act together with returns a bit better as well. So I'm going to retract your Room 101 and give them the gold star back.
Don't worry, they'll get Room 101 again next week. Listen, finally, my gold star this show goes to OnBuy, a company that previously, well, obviously had heard of them, as you'll hear, but I couldn't remember them. I got an email suddenly out of the blue saying, congratulations, you are now an OnBuy purchaser. You are now able to do this, that and the other and blah, 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 blah. Absolutely saying to me, I've just made a purchase from OnBuy, which I hadn't. So alarm bells went off and I jumped onto the computer, found their email address and instantly sent them an email saying, alarm bells, I haven't bought anything from you. I've never heard of you. Why have you sent me this email? I think my identity has been stolen. And this was a Saturday. And within an hour, I think, I got an email back, personal, dear Aidan, we do apologise. Due to a system error, we just sent an email out to everybody who's ever purchased from us, whereas it was only meant to go to so-and-so. And please rest assured your data is safe and there's nothing to worry about. So, you could say Room 101 for cocking up and sending an email they shouldn't have done. But I mean, who hasn't done that? But they immediately got on it and responded to me within an hour on a Saturday evening to reassure me that, no, my data hadn't been stolen and all was well. So I actually give them a gold star for that, because otherwise I'd have been phoning my bank and panicking and God knows what.
I've never heard of them. I'm just looking at their website now. They sell garden furniture and barbecue.
I think they sell everything in the world. I think it's one of those sort of we want to be an Amazon shops.
Oh, but, yeah. They've got tablets and phones and everything, haven't they?
Well, yeah. There you are. I found you a new site to play with.
Well,
but they have good customer service, I'll say that. No idea about their products, because, I mean, I must have bought something from them years ago and just remained in their system. But anyway, there we go. Excellent, excellent service.
Spookily, we are almost at the hour again. Anyone would think this was planned, wouldn't they?
Well, it was that lengthy phone call you took at the beginning of the show.
Oh yeah, that's true. Perhaps it's not an hour then. You'll have to put twice the jingles in every
time.
I'll
sing a song or something to fill up the time, don't worry.
Indeed. Right, okay, for the time being, we'll be back in 3 weeks' time with another show, hopefully. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan and all he does and can do. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. Links to all the audio podcasts go out from there, and also the MeWe groups, the special one of which is the Whatever Works one, of course. We'd like to hear whatever works in your life, so jump into our MeWe group and let us know. Keep the content coming. Let us have good, fun shows, and we will be grateful for that. Whateverworks.works is our website where you'll find links to all this stuff. Last word to you, as always, Mr. Aidan Bell.
If you're in the UK, go out and enjoy this lovely weather, because this is England and it won't last. So, and when you've done that, send us in something you've got that we can put into the show.
Yes, indeed. Do that. Hunt through your Amazon orders list and.
Oh, that's
tell us
lethal, Ted. I opened that and I realised how much money I spent.
Well, just save it up for your Volvo.
Yes.
Okay, one last thing to say. As always, we'll see you in 3 weeks' time. And don't forget,
whatever works.
Works!